Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse number 1. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the tugged places a plain, rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I will. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all the faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid, say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. We continue again through this Advent season, a season of waiting, by considering the texts associated with the season and meeting with these texts. We are watching again these holiday movies, and I pray that you would take a few moments to spend with your family. You get so busy, right? Doing all the things that we have to do on our daily grind. And sometimes it's just good to just sit with the family and watch a movie, or just sit with your family and talk and just do something together. This movie, Polar Express, has become a favorite to many. It was an animated film produced in 2004. It is visually stunning, a lot of colors, a lot of action. It also invokes some pretty relevant themes for all of us to consider. And I pray that we are awakened to some of these simple truths, simple themes, particularly as they pertain to this season of waiting. You know, so many of us look forward to this season, and perhaps like so many of us who have grown up in areas where winter means snow, you are feeling particularly in the mood of the season. Again, I grew up in Buffalo, so I know snow. To see snow is to feel like it's winter. To feel like it's winter is to be alerted that Christmas is nearby. But again, we have to wait until Christmas. So many of us are past looking forward to Christmas and receiving, you know, that one gift that we've been hopeful for or wishing for, that precious gift. You know, we're a little older now, and you know, some of the things that we might have wanted, you know, in the past, you know, we're just kind of over that. I mean, when we were younger, I mean, how many people are Price of Right fans? I like the Price is Right. I remember when I was younger, when I watched the Price is Right, I used to get excited when it was a brand new car. But now that I'm older, man, those living room sets look sweet. You know, the dining room stuff, you know, all the stuff that was born to me when I was a kid, those are things that I like now. But even that stuff, like right now, for a lot of us who are getting older, you know, Christmas isn't really about like getting like all the cool stuff. However, if I wake up on Christmas morning and there's a brand new car in my driveway and wrapped in a bow, not going to turn it down. I'm going to be excited. I'll take it. But it's just like that's just not the stuff that we are looking for anymore. We're not looking for the things, but there are some themes that we find ourselves looking for. There are some ideals that we find ourselves looking for. I mean, if we had an opportunity to ask someone and we were granted any wish or any gift that we want, I don't know about you, but things that I would ask for, I would ask for things like world peace. I'm just tired of war. I'm tired of conflicts. I'm tired of fighting. This nation versus this nation. This people versus this people. This party versus this party. This school versus that. I'm just sick of that. I would pray for world. I would ask for world peace. I would ask for the elimination of poverty and hunger. It just pains me that right here in our backyard in Reynoldsburg, there are children who are starving. They're starving. I mean, I'm not talking about the starving. We've been in church too long. Oh, Dion, he just keeps talking. I'm starving. I'm not talking about that type of starving, because eventually, when I get finished, you'll be able to go and get something to eat. I'm talking about the starving that says this weekend right now there are kids who have not eaten since they ate breakfast at school on Friday or lunch. I would pray for hunger and poverty to just go away. I would ask, if I could get anything, I would ask that this church becomes a church that thrives and becomes a greater witness in this world. If I could get anything that I wanted, I would ask for my wife to be completely 100% healed and well, as the case for everyone in here. I would just pray for healing everyone in here. No more aches, no more bruises, no more residuals from the diseases that you have or surgeries that you. I would just ask for complete healing. That's what I would want. Not a brand new car would be nice, but what would really be just fulfilling is to see everyone in here 100% absolutely healed and well. My mother's getting older and she's still taking care of teenagers and they're driving her nuts. I would ask for my mother to just be at peace. She's been a matriarch and a mother for so many years, and I just want her to just live out the rest of her life just peace, right? I'd ask for the Lord's church globally to be more unified. I'd ask for my kids, my children, my two daughters to remain in a faithful relationship with God for the rest of their lives. I just ask that nothing would ever get in the way of that. Like the song from years ago, that would be my grown-up Christmas list. What's on your list? What do you want? What do you really want? For some of us, we want relief from depression. For some of us, we want peace in our homes. For some of us, we want better relationships with God. And for some of us, that better relationship with God means I want help with my belief and my faith. Years and years ago, the people of God stood at a place of great despair. Their land was taken from them. Their identity was taken from them. They're standing in the world. They're standing in the world. It took a huge, huge blow. They were enslaved by a bigger national power. They were oppressed and had no place to call their home. All seemed lost and broken and beyond repair. So now enter the prophecy of Isaiah, who spoke to that brokenness and the dashed hopes of this people. And he speaks, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Yes, the people of God had experienced the consequence of turning their backs on God. Yet the word from the Lord came to them, proclaiming that time of dismay was coming to a close, and the Lord who is in control was coming to their rescue. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This prophecy and countless others in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, proclaim that a Savior was coming. We call him a Messiah, a King who would rescue the people from the pit of their gloom and misery. But they had to wait and wait and wait some more and wait and wait. In church, you all know waiting takes its toll. We just don't like to wait. That's why we have self-serve everywhere. That's why we have, you know, you can order your groceries online now, and they'll bring them right to your door. Why? Because we don't like to go to the store and walk around and shop and then wait in line to check out. We can just tap some buttons and they'll just bring it right to our house. We just don't like to wait. That's why we have pre-screening at the airports, because now, because of security after 9/11, it just takes so long to get through the gates. So you can pay extra to be pre-screened so you don't have to wait in the long lines. You can just go right through the pre-screen line and get right to the gate to go sit down and wait for the plane to take off. We don't like to wait. That's why we take back roads. When traffic gets backed up, we think, oh, I'll just take the back roads and I'll go around, even though taking the back roads probably takes the same amount of time it would take if you just stay in traffic. But we do that because we don't like to wait. And while we wait, when the help that has been promised doesn't come, when the payoff that has been dictated doesn't pay off, we struggle. We struggle with our belief. The Polar Express is a movie about the struggle of belief. It's about a little boy who doesn't believe in Santa Claus anymore. Shame on him. For some reason, doubt and outright disbelief has set in. He has not seen Santa, therefore he is not real. And so the movie follows the adventures of Hero Boy. It really doesn't have a name in the movie, as he is invited to ride this train, the Polar Express, to the North Pole. Here's a trailer from the film The Polar Express.
Things we can't see.
We take you to a place where anything is
possible.
I wanted to do that my whole life.
Polar Express.
One thing about trains, it doesn't matter where they're going. What matters is deciding to get on.
This is a it's an action-packed film with so many twists and turns of a train. The overwhelming theme is that of one struggle with belief. And this boy has interactions with other kids and a mysterious conductor who seems pivotal in helping this kid in his struggle with belief. And interestingly, the conductor of the train doesn't always give the exact answers to all the questions, but he seems to shed light on the mystery and struggle of belief. So for instance, I believe that this short clip is probably the scene in the movie upon which the whole film rests, and it's the conductor describing an instance where he had to believe and trust.
Watch your step, tricky walking up here. It's mighty slick, I tell you. What the
hell? There you go. What did I tell you?
What did I tell you? Years ago, on my first Christmas Eve run, I was up on the roof making my rounds when I slipped on the ice myself. I reached out for a hand iron, but it broke off. I slid and fell, and yet I did not fall off this train.
Someone saved you?
Or something.
An angel?
Maybe.
Wait, wait! What did he look like? Did you see him?
No, sir. But sometimes seeing is believing. And sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we can't see.
Sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we can't see. Now, that is a truth that seems hard to grasp at times. We need to see to believe. We want evidence. We want proof. But a cosmic truth that is set before us is that there are a lot of things going on that we just simply do not see. And our faith and belief is what gets us by. Paramount in the life of the follower of Jesus is a belief that God is in control, a belief that what we see in the present is not the preview of our destination or our final resting place. So then, while I am troubled by war and chaos, my ultimate destination is one of peace and tranquility. While I want healing for everyone in this room right now, because being sick sickens me, sickness and death is not the finality of our reality. And even though I have questions and doubts, I am not cast away from the presence of God. He puts me on an adventure of discovery. And sometimes the things I don't see are the things that are most real. I wanted us to consider this film because it prompts us to respond to the invitation to take a ride with God on this adventure called life. I want us to see that while we take our ride, we ride alongside others who may have their struggles with doubts and others who triumph in their faith. No matter who you are, there is room on this train. We just have to make a decision to get on. So will you get on this train and will you believe? There is comfort for those who wait. There is reward for those who wait. There is the payoff to those who wait and believe. Those who originally heard the word from Isaiah didn't see the finality, but there were those who preserved that word. They passed it down through generations. And even those that were given, even though that word from Isaiah was given hundreds and hundreds of years before the first century AD, we are introduced to some figures that came along hundreds of years after that Isaiah prophecy. Mark chapter 1, verse number 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of those whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist came preaching the way of Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world and he brought a spirit. He preached, he taught, he healed. He brought hope to the hopeless. He brought life to the lifeless. He transformed minds. He changed hearts. And if you read the rest of the Gospel of Mark, you read about people being put in a position to ride the train of belief. The Gospel of Mark, it ends asking that question, basically, will you believe? When you read from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 16, Mark presents us with stories and narratives where at the end of that story, you're almost posed this question, do you believe? He heals a leper and a paralyzed guy and a guy with leprosy. And after that, it's almost as if the question is posed, do you believe? He heals a man possessed by demons. He heals a woman who has an issue of blood. He raises a young girl from the dead. And after those stories, we're kind of posed with the question, do you believe? He preaches and he teaches and he does all these miraculous activities all throughout the Gospel of Mark. And the question is posed, do you believe? He's resurrected from the dead. And some run away in fear, and then the gospel just suddenly ends, almost as if to ask the question, they were afraid, but those of you who've read and you've seen all the evidence, do you believe? And throughout the New Testament, the question is posed in a myriad of ways, will you believe? And if you believe, there is a payoff. So hear the word of the Lord in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8. But do not forget the one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. In this film, Hero Boy eventually meets Santa. And Santa asks Hero Boy, like, what do you want for Christmas? And all he wants for Christmas is to believe. And I believe that in its simplest form, that really all we want in life is to believe. It's to believe something bigger than us, to believe that the impossible is possible, to believe that there is resolution to come for this life that we are living, that often brings pain and disappointment and dissatisfaction. And we're like that little boy, or at least I think we're being compelled to become like a little boy, or like a little girl, or like a little child. I mean, how many times does Jesus encourage us to become like little children? Reason why I love this season is watching children get suspended in wonder. They get so suspended in wonder. What's going to happen? How is this going? I love watching kids look at lights. I love the way kids get so engrossed in the wonder of this season. And I'm saddened by the way that adults just kind of are like, oh yeah, here we go again. They're starting to play Christmas music again. Oh, they're starting to do this again. Am I right about it? Isn't it interesting how kids look so forward to this, but we, you know, adults, we're just, man, we're becoming Scrooges and Grinches. And I believe there's a similar thing happening in the life of faith. When we first became Christians, when we first got saved, oh man, you could see it on our faces. You couldn't shut us up in talking about our life. But the older we get in our journey of faith, just kind of get quieter. And I believe that's the reason that Jesus says, unless you become like little children. Because little children, they trust. And they believe. And most of the times, they don't need a dissertation of evidence to believe. They often believe in spite of what they see. But as adults, as we grow older, we begin to believe based on what we see. So there are a lot of us in this world that see war and destruction and poverty and disunity, and it's taking its toll on our faith, church. And I think this is a season while we wait where we are called to embody faith like a child, to remember, to reflect, to believe that God is in control. So that's why you see a lot of the later letters like Revelation. We get so wrapped up in trying to decipher all the images in Revelation, but the simple message of Revelation is this: just have faith. Just have faith. There's a lot of stuff going on around you, and it's bad, but that's not how it's going to end. God is going to have his way. God is going to do his thing. Believe. Have faith. So while we wait during this season, I want us to embody this childlike faith, this childlike wonder. Allow that childlike faith and that childlike wonder to inform our worship, to inform our practices, to inform our service. It's not going to make sense to a lot of people. It's not going to make sense to people who don't believe. But to those who do believe, for those of us who do believe, we believe that comfort is coming for us. We believe that the sovereign Lord is in control. We believe that there is a payoff to belief. And if you watch the rest of the Polar Express film, you'll see that for that young little boy, for that young little girl, and all the kids on the train, there was a payoff. Church, I wish that I was better at giving you all the evidence in the world to follow God. I'm just not that good at evidences. But I just want to encourage you. If you struggle, if you doubt, don't get off the train. Stay on the train and allow God to take you on an adventure of a lifetime. And I believe that your faith and that your belief will be strengthened. And as your faith is strengthened, as you see as evidence, I think, in the film, that your belief becomes contagious. It becomes contagious in your families. It becomes contagious in your communities. It becomes contagious at your work sites, at your schools. Believe. And if you are struggling with faith, we want to be a church that embraces you and walks alongside you. And we say it's okay. But let's walk on this journey together. And perhaps together we will all experience new insights into what God is doing. Let's pray. Holy God, we confess our struggle with waiting. We want all that you're going to give, and we want it right now. But God, as you have demonstrated patience with us, desiring that no one perish, desiring that everyone comes to know you, as you have demonstrated patience with us, God, would you grant us, with a patience that comes from you, would you bless us with that fruit? And imparting your Holy Spirit into our lives so that we would live a life of childlike faith and belief, and where we struggle, we ask that you would remain committed to leading us and showing us and teaching us and blessing us with experiences and with other people. And Holy God, where we struggle to believe, I pray that you don't hold it against us, but like children, that you would come to us and embrace us, as the prophecy of Isaiah says, that you would just simply lead us like a good shepherd would. And God, I know that in time, our faith and our belief will be strengthened. God, we love you, and we know very few ways to express that, but God, accept our worship, accept our prayers, accept this song that we sing in just a few moments. It's a desire to let us come to know you. Father, we want to get on this train, this adventure. Lead us so that we would believe in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song in just a second. As we sing the song, if there's anything that we can do for you through prayer, through comfort, through sharing with you in this moment, come as we sing the song.